All right, now joining me on the pod is Matt Popchak, our old friend and associate, a big contributor for Pittsburgh Soccer Now. Matt, it is great to see you, talk to you. I don't know, we'll be on a podcast. I don't know if we'll see this, but you are wearing a Pittsburgh Stingers shirt, which I'm sure has one of those somewhere in his closet, too.
I wore it for him. Yeah, I'm glad you saw that and recognized that immediately. The Stingers were kind of like I know the Pittsburgh spirit, obviously, and I'm of the generation that's familiar with them, but you know, a little too young to really, you know them and appreciate their legacy. So the Stingers, who were a 90s concoction, were my first exposure to professional soccer in Pittsburgh. So here we are.
Well, I just love it. I love anything that goes back in time and talk about when soccer was just kind of like this. Although, like you said, when the spirit happened, it was a little bit of a magical time for a very brief period, but long it sustained enough. And there's a history and there's people who are truly nostalgic about it. I think when it comes to the Stingers, a word that U.S. Open Cup people have been using a lot in the past week is sicko. Yeah. Not that was for the sickos. I think
seems to be popular amongst a lot of sports these days.
It was that mid-90s boom where the Penguins and Civic Arena were trying to just throw everything at us. And I think
there was
a couple different things going on, and it just nothing quite stuck.
Yeah. That was those were the Howard Baldwin years when he owned the Penguins. And like you said, he was willing to do anything to drum up revenue that I guess at least partially would be put back into the hockey club in some way, shape, or form. There was the Stingers. There was, for a hot minute, roller hockey, the Pittsburgh Phantoms at the same time, the same year. They both franchises launched, if memory serves. And they filmed the Van Damme movie, Sudden Death, of course, at the arena. The thing I'll remember most about the Stingers, though, aside from, you know, 2020 hindsight, now recognizing Bob Lilly's ties to the franchise. He was a defender on the original team. But the thing I always remember is being at a game for the first time. And it was the first and I believe last time I ever saw the Civic Arena Dome open up and stay open for, you know, the course of the game. You know, they played the theme from 2001, A Space Odyssey, as the thing opened up. It's funny the things you remember, but man, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Well, that was so rare. It was a rare thing. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like arena football championship game in somewhere in the mid 80s, it happened. There were concerts, you know, but it had to be in the summer mostly, or they were filming a movie, of course,
right?
Which was, you know, I remember that vividly because I worked on Forbes Avenue near Mercy Hospital every single day. I saw them, and they were trying to get people, all the extras, to come into the stands every night. And they were, I don't know, they were like free concession food, and they were trying everything. It was all nothing but emergency vehicles surrounded at night. The lights flashing. You just couldn't miss it back. I guess that was 93, 94 when that was.
Yeah. That would stand to reason as far as the filming dates are concerned. And I believe the actual premiere of the movie itself was sometime in the neighborhood of Christmas 95, because I remember going with family relatives to see it in theaters right around Christmas 95. So,
maybe it's not fair, but that might be the legacy of the arena in maybe a generation or two down the road. People will probably still be watching some Jean-Claude Van Damme. And, you know, the fight with the iceberg, I think, goes down. And I don't know where we've gone off the rails here with this conversation.
but to your earlier point, though, I think the reason there was a market for the Spirit and for indoor soccer in Pittsburgh at the time is because at the time, keep in mind, this was a time when the Penguins were lousy. It was the pre-Mario years. And I think there was an appetite or a void in Pittsburgh for a professional winter sport with a team that was watchable, you know, and did well. And back then, the concept of indoor soccer was it was new. It was different. And people were always willing to at least try something that's different. You know, whether or not it sticks is a different discussion. But before Mario came along and everything changed, not just for the hockey team, but for the city as a whole, there was a period where the Pittsburgh Spirit had more of a puncher's chance of surviving in Pittsburgh than the Pittsburgh Penguins, as hard as that might be for the kiddos today to believe. But that was very much the case for a couple of years.
And I remember living on Long Island at the time, and you know, we were just in our glory with the Islanders winning 4 straight Stanley Cups. I normally went to games with my grandfather to the Islander games. He had season tickets. But my sister came home and she's like, the Penguins, they played the Penguins, and there's this Mario Lemieux. That's all she talked about. And I was like, damn, I missed it. I didn't see Mario Lemieux in person. You know, of course, I would be fortunate to be able to do that many
get used to that.
but honestly, like, that was like, oh, Pittsburgh, you know, I mean, yeah, they were good a couple years ago, you know, when they had Pierre LaRouche and whatever.
Right.
It really hit the bottom. So no, you're absolutely right. And that was like, oh, Pittsburgh's going to be good in hockey now. Well, that's good. That was really great for the NHL and whatnot, but unfortunate for the Spirit. But I believe indoor soccer, it was also coincided with the indoor soccer, just whatever happened, it just faded. Everything faded for like 4 or 5 years with regards to the NASL folding and then the indoor soccer leagues. I mean, they kind of persevered, but not in Pittsburgh and not in some of the bigger markets. Even in New York, where the Arrows were, they won 3 or 4 straight cups as well. And at the almost same time, the Islanders did. So that was something, but they kind of faded off as well. So a lot of the bigger cities that had those indoor teams, there were some, Detroit, Cleveland, a couple other, St. Louis is where they stayed. I know they maintained a real popularity over the into the 90s, but for whatever reason, Pittsburgh, it just didn't sustain itself. And you know, it is what it is, but it was a lot of great memories.
Yeah, and I think in the case of the Stingers, I think by the time it got to that point in the early 90s, where you know the Penguins were more established, and when you're in a sports town that's, you know, a great sports town like Pittsburgh, and you've already got lots going on and lots of different teams and entities and cultural things that are stretching your entertainment dollars, you got to win. You know, you got to have the results have to be, especially when you're a second tier professional team or, you know, a fringe thing like indoor soccer, you know, you got to win is the bottom line. And for the couple of years that they were around, they just didn't do it enough. And so the bloom, I think, very quickly fell off that rose. And, you know, for the sport as a whole, that was around the time that MLS came to be, you know, in existence. And our generation of soccer consumers, soccer fans, etc., you know, sort of realized, hey, why do we need this, you know, bastardized version of something that's already a perfectly good thing that MLS is trying to give us and these other, you know, like today USL and, you know, all the other leagues. So I think, you know, over time, that's why you saw the indoor version of the sport become more and more, you know, passe.